Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Remember back in high school, which unfortunately is now kind of becoming a long time ago for me, about when the earthquake hit Haiti, the really big one, the most recent one, and how many people were killed, how much death and destruction there was. But I remember also a certain televangelist who came on the air to say why it had happened to the Haitians. In it, he said it was because they had made a deal with the devil that they were being punished. Well, I am someone a Lutheran, and I cringed at that because that's not exactly the whole truth. That's what Jesus is telling us today in our text. He's telling us bad things happen because of sin. I'm not talking about the sins we commit, but the sin that corrupts our very nature, our very DNA. In fact, Luke tells us, there was some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And what he's saying is that, well, there were some Galileans killed in the temple, and that their blood was mingled with their sacrifices. But Jesus answers them, I don't think, in a way that they were expecting. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? We, by our very nature, want to say, well, yeah, they were worse sinners than others. But what does Jesus say? No, I tell you. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he gives another example, and he talks about, or what about those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? Jesus tells us again, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What is Jesus saying here? But to repent. To repent of our sinfulness. Yes, we do repent of our actual sins, but as we confessed a moment ago, we say that we are by nature, on this side of the fall, sinful and unclean. Therefore, we are by nature enemies of God. What Jesus also points out is there is no sinner worse than any other in God's eyes. That's right. You look the same in God's eyes as a sinner than even an unbeliever. Because let's face it, we struggle with unbelief all the time. What it does go to show, however, is that bad things happen because of original sin. The sin that corrupted all of the universe, all of the cosmos, not to mention our world and even ourselves from Adam and Eve on. That is our nature now on this side of the fall. We are rotten sinners. We deserve nothing but death. One of the things we can get out of this as well is, you know, consider yourself blessed that nothing worse has happened to you. Because as sinners, we deserve death and destruction. As we continue to celebrate Lent, which we don't often usually use the word celebrate associated with Lent, but what we do celebrate is a penitential season. A season where we acknowledge who we are as sinners. As those who are by our very nature now enemies God. We acknowledge that we are lost, that we are condemned, and that we cannot dig ourselves out of this death. What it also goes to show, though, is that those who struggle with original sin, those who have it a part of their DNA, that it is they who die. This doesn't leave anybody off the side at all. This includes everybody, includes you and me. For only sinners die. And I haven't met a person who hasn't died or will not die. I've not met them and never will in this lifetime here. Because if you die, what this shows is that you have been a sinner your whole life. That you have sinned in thought, word, and deed. In the end also, only sinners struggle. Sinners struggle and suffer through life. And so any of us, probably even at this time, can think of us suffering in some way. Something that we're dealing with. Maybe you received news about your health that's, well, you don't have much time to live. Or maybe you've received news about a loved one. Maybe you've committed a sin that hurt somebody else. Whatever it might be, and you know it. Unless a sinner repents, they will obtain eternal death. This is the truth of what Jesus is telling us when he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. As unbelievers, we deserve nothing but hell itself. But it is a good junction here to mention that there is a difference between a repentant sinner and an unrepentant sinner. An unrepentant sinner trusts and relies only on themselves or other things, rejecting God and his truth. Do not trust in God. Do not look to him for mercy and peace and grace. Instead, they think that they know better than God himself. And for those who think that way, God has something to say, because we stand with Job, where God tells Job, where were you? Where were you when I was creating the heavens and the earth? Where were you? That's right, you weren't born yet. You cannot give birth to yourself, even. You weren't there. You know nothing. And at times, you will not understand it. But know that I am God. But a repentant sinner, there's a difference, because they truly trust and rely on God's grace, mercy, and peace for their forgiveness and eternal life. There is a difference. And it is a big difference. What this points out, though, as well, is that it is for sinners. For sinners, for you and for me. It is exactly for them whom Christ came for. What he came, what he was born to do. Why he lived his life. Why he died on a cross. Why he also then rose from that death. It was for sinners that Christ has come to deliver them from evil. He has come for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to deliver you from evil of body, mind, and soul. To deliver you from sin, death, and the devil. Because Jesus came to forgive you, declare you righteous. He came to deliver you out of death, so that you can live. The point of fact is, he points it out and makes it a reality because you are a baptized child of God. You see, through your baptism, you have gained eternal life. You are born from above and into his family, as his heir, as his child. And as with any good father, that father cares for his children. But that doesn't seem to be enough, though. Jesus has to continue to teach. Because, yes, he tells us to repent or you will perish, but if we leave it there, we're lost. And so he tells this story, this parable. where a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. So what did he do? He said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" This man, this owner of the fig tree, doesn't like what he sees. It's not fulfilling its purpose, this tree, this fig tree. And what do we do with fruitless trees? But we cut them down, we throw them to the sides, we burn them. It even goes farther to say it shouldn't even be taking up space. But then the vine dresser answers, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig it around and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Dear brothers and sisters, we, you and I, are that fig tree. We on our own cannot produce any fruit. In fact, we are dead on our own. And yes, we deserve to be cut down and thrown into the fire because we don't even deserve to take up the space that we do. Yet, the vine dresser, the intercessor, that is Christ, who comes to fertilize you, to feed you, to nourish you as a child of God. And what does he nourish you with? But the forgiveness of your sins, life and salvation that he won for you in his death and his resurrection. What it does point out also is that God is patient, that he does give us time to repent. But it is better to repent sooner than later, because there will come a time which we will meet our Maker face to face, or we'll be judged one way or the other, to hell or to heaven itself. I included this quote to you, for you, I should say, in the bulletin that I think sums up this parable wonderfully. "The fig tree deserved to be cut down and destroyed. It had not been right for years. But the vine dresser had asked for mercy. He tended and nurtured and cared for this tree, patiently cultivating it so that it might bear fruit." That is how Jesus responds to those who repent. Judgment is coming. That much is certain. But those who repent will receive mercy. And so on this day, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has sent me with the word to say that God, through his Son Jesus, has shown you mercy. And that's why we also celebrate Lent. Because we are looking towards the end of Lent, to that Good Friday, to that Easter morning. We'll see Christ die, the most innocent of men in all of human history, die. But who will not stay dead and rise for you on the third day? For in his death he forgives you all your sins. And in his resurrection he declares you to be something other than what you think of yourself. That you are his righteous child, not because of what you did, but because of what he loved to do for you. That is the point of all of this. Why you're here. You're here to know that you are forgiven, to receive it. That is the truth that has now set you free. And so if anybody has that burden, if there is guilt upon your conscience, as if to think that there is no hope as well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear children of God, I tell you differently, that Jesus is for you and that nobody can tell you different. Not even the devil himself. In Jesus' name, amen.